The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Just a few words about the passage of Scripture that is in our lections for today, and also that we're looking at in week two of our Lenten series. But in week two, we are looking at the passage of Scripture where Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. And if you would, turn in your Bibles, please, to John 3, 1 through 17. Time doesn't permit a fulsome discussion. There's so much in there, isn't there? Just this morning, in this morning's group, well, several people were saying, gosh, there's so much here, it could be possible to get lost in it. Yes? Jesus is talking about being born again. He's talking about the serpent being lifted up in the desert and the Son of Man being lifted up. He's teaching about heavenly things and spiritual things, and Nicodemus is sort of understanding it on a different level. But this thought came to me this week as I was thinking about this particular passage for today. We're looking at, in week two of Lent, the path through self, the journey through self, and suggesting that humility is the path through self. We talked this morning's group about our narcissistic culture. And even in worship, maybe in some ways, especially in worship, we're wired for it to be somehow about us. It's easy to get there, isn't it? As I was thinking about this particular passage this week, it occurred to me that I wanted to talk about nighttime humility. Nighttime humility. What might nighttime humility look like versus daytime humility? You know the story that Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. What are some of the reasons you suppose he did that? Okay, so people wouldn't see him under the cloak of darkness. Why would he want that? Yeah, he's a Pharisee, right? And he doesn't want the others to see him. Anything else? Ruler of the Jews, one of the leading members, rulers. So he's coming under the cloak of darkness. Other reasons? Okay. One possible reason is that he's got lots of stuff to do during the day and wants some time to have Jesus to himself. I think that's generous. No, I'm not poo-pooing it. It's a generous idea. Maybe your study Bible has some thoughts on that. Mine says, perhaps Nicodemus was afraid to come by day, or he may have wanted a long talk, which would have been difficult in the daytime with the crowds. So, yeah, that's a possible interpretation. Yes, Dave?
You know, the classes were...
All right, so it may be a class distinction thing. Okay, Laura? Oh, yeah. And maybe the wrestling happened all day long.
Yes.
Do you ever do that? Do you ever put anything off? No, you don't do it. I wonder if I should. I wonder if I shouldn't. I don't know. Maybe I should. I don't know. Oh, there's something shiny. I'll go over there and fiddle with that for a while. Facebook is a shiny thing that can distract you when you should be doing something else. Sometimes when I mindlessly find myself in patterns of shiny stuff chasing, I realize, oh, okay, I've got to be avoiding something, but I have forgotten what it is that I'm avoiding, so let's refocus. Yeah, it could be. All right, think for a moment about nighttime humility. That phrase just keeps turning over and over in my head all week long. I mean, I think it's a humble thing that Nicodemus comes to Jesus, yes? No matter how you cut it, a ruling elder, a Pharisee of great stature and probably learning, and of course we know the rest of the story, we'll get to that in just a second with Nicodemus, but I think it's a humbling thing that he comes to Jesus no matter the time of day. But what might we learn about humility if it's nighttime humility? Think about that just for a second. Does anything come to mind? That's really good. Did you hear that? Nighttime humility might be a little harder. It's less distracting.
But it's harder on your soul.
Okay, good. Yeah, our mind goes to a place where, oh, well, he's chicken. He didn't want to see anybody, so he's going at night. But in some ways, night might have been more difficult because there are less distractions. There are less shiny things. In the middle of the night when it's just you and God, that's some concentrated time, isn't it?
Okay. So nighttime might be a time of more vulnerability. Okay. I kind of like that. Barbara says, in some ways, it's a little more exposing. Is that okay? More mindful of spiritual state during the night than in the daytime. Okay, well, let's list a few of these. Okay, so in your mind's eye, have a balance sheet, for lack of a better word. Nighttime humility. Good things about it, pitfalls about it. Name some positive things about nighttime humility. We said, for example, it could be in a more concentrated place with Jesus. Somebody said, you're more open and vulnerable. Was there a couple of other positive ones? Tell me. Perhaps less focused on self, or in some ways maybe more focused in the right way on self. Okay, anybody else? Positive things about nighttime humility. Less distraction. Okay, on the negative side of a nighttime humility, it might mean that it's difficult for you to be humble in front of others. What's that? Fear. Fear of what? Fear that you might be wrong. Fear of what other people might think. A few verses on humility that we won't have time to look at, but you might want to just jot down in your meditations about humility. The humble are known for their fear of the Lord, Proverbs 22:4. Humility reflects godly character, Psalm 45:4. The humble will be exalted. The humble are known for their righteousness. But listen, false humility comes from the ungodly who have no place in heaven. Here's a couple I wanted especially to highlight, and let's do look at these. Believers are commanded to assume humility before everyone. Did you know this? Interesting idea, thinking about daytime humility versus nighttime humility. Philippians 2:3, somebody look that up, and somebody look at Titus 3:2. So Philippians 2:3, someone grab that. Titus, if somebody grab that, please, Titus 3:2. Believers are commanded to assume humility before everyone. Nicodemus is showing humility by coming to Jesus, but for whatever reason, it is under the cloak of darkness. And maybe, God bless him, he got some concentrated time with Jesus. Maybe it's the only time he could come, but at this particular point, he's not demonstrating humility before everyone. Somebody have the Philippians one? Read it out nice and loud. Value others before yourself. How can you demonstrate that unless you are with others? What does valuing others more than yourself look like? Difficult to do that by yourself, right? All right, Titus 3:2, who has that? Read it out, John. Showing meekness to all people, right? Hey, how do you show meekness? I love the quote, by the way. There was a wonderful C.S. Lewis quote. Thank you, Ellen, for putting that in today. Where was that? You have to hear this. Yes, let me read that so that it's in the microphone and in the recording. When C.S. Lewis describes the humble person in Mere Christianity, he shows us someone who has learned to walk the path of humility. Here's the quote. Do not imagine that if you meet a really humble man, he will be what most people call humble nowadays. He will not be a sort of greasy, smarmy person. I love that. Who is always telling you that, of course, he is nobody. Probably all you will think about him is that he seemed a cheerful, intelligent chap who took a real interest in what you said to him. If you dislike him, it will be because you feel a little envious of anyone who seems to enjoy life so easily. Isn't that good? He will not be thinking about humility. He will not be thinking about himself at all. I love that. You ever talk to people? Pastors are really bad about this. When you're talking to them, they're scanning the crowd to see whoever else they need to be talking to. Sometimes I'm guilty of that. I'm trying so hard. There's a good Lenten discipline for all of us, to be present to the people you're with. Get off that flipping phone when you get to the checkout counter at the Walmart, okay? Can I say the Walmart? Is that all right? What is humility? What is placing others? Well, it's going to be public. And at least in this particular case, Nicodemus's was not. But I don't think we need to give him too hard a time. Because the first act of humility was to come to Jesus to begin with. That's worth saying again. The first act of humility for Nicodemus was to come to Jesus to begin with. And he asks him a series of questions. And isn't it marvelous that you can ask Jesus some questions and he doesn't understand? And isn't it marvelous to say to Jesus, I don't get it? Rebecca had one of the wisest things that I've heard said all day today. We were looking at this scripture and she said, you know, I don't get it. You know what? I don't either. And how humble to say that. I don't get it. And isn't it marvelous that Jesus is okay with us not getting it? Boy, that's a good thing in my case. So whether it's a nighttime humility or a daytime humility, I want you to think about humility. Because I think there are pros and cons to each kind of both type. What does humility look like? Well, in this second week of Lent, we're talking about humility being the path through self. And let me stop with this. Dave said something today in our small group. By the way, I don't want you to stop sharing in small groups in fear that it will end up being in the sermon. My family, my wife and children have for 25 years had this burden. And my mother, who will listen to these things and will call me and say, I never did ever say anything like that, and ever. You go back to that congregation and tell them. Dave said something really interesting today. He said, I kind of struggle with this. Where is the balance of worship being selfless and also, say, particularly in Lent, us thinking about inward spirituality? He quoted that famous first line from the book Purpose Driven Life that says, it's not about you, right? In fact, we sang this morning, it's all about you, Jesus. Where's the balance? And I think that it may be wrapped up in this notion of daytime and nighttime humility. Nighttime and daytime humility. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night asking sincere questions. But you know, the rest of the story is that Nicodemus embraces Jesus and takes a pivotal daytime role in the Passion Week. Do you remember? You should look at the rest of the story of Nicodemus, because he also demonstrates some really amazing, courageous daytime humility as well. And it seems to me, and here's the point, is that the balance is that we are participating with God in His purposes for the world. That's what animates our lives and gives it meaning. That's the meaning of the whole world. That rather than us inviting Jesus into our little slice of life and asking Him to do something with us, which might be a kind of a nighttime humility, but we're demonstrating not only that, but also a daytime humility that says, Jesus, I want to participate with you in your purposes for the world. My hope and my help and my purpose and my blessing and my happiness are all tied up in doing your story and participating with you in your story. Nicodemus comes to Jesus asking sincere questions, curious about what all this might mean for him. By the end of all of it, there's also a daytime humility that demonstrates that he's now part of Jesus' story and walking out his purpose and his baptism in light of who Jesus is. I want you to think about that. Think about that. As you are walking through and keeping a holy Lent, the path through self is humility. And it involves both a nighttime and daytime humility. Through self, beyond self, and then an exalted kind of living where we are participating with God in His purposes for the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I give you thanks for the day and for the joy of living in your story. Lord, sometimes I come to you at night, and I come to you at night with my questions because I don't want anybody else to see me asking. Sometimes, Lord, I come to you at night because I want some more concentrated time with you. And I am open and vulnerable because that's one of the things that night can do. Lord, I also want to have a daytime humility because your word says that we should be humble before others. But Lord, I pray that in my daytime humility, I would not be showy or, as C.S. Lewis says, greasy or smarmy. talking about how low I am and how nothing I am. Why? Because, Lord, my spirituality is located in you. And while none of this is really about me and it's about you, you are using me to help tell your story. And so I pray that on this journey through self, I would live in your story and that you would use me for your purposes in this world. And surely that's a wonderful way to get the attention off of me and onto you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.